Luke chapter 12. So I'm picking up where Pastor left off a few weeks ago. And so we're going to dig into Luke chapter 12, starting there at verse 35. We finished up the section where we were dealing with your treasure in heaven. And we'll make a slight shift as we go over these last verses in this chapter tonight. It's still dealing with an aspect of heaven, but yet it's not necessarily our treasure in heaven, but it's looking for that day of Jesus' return. And we need to make sure that we understand clearly, are we ready? Are you ready for the second coming of Jesus? And not only are you ready, but are you living your life in such a way that it's helping other people to be ready? Because us being ready isn't about just kicking back on the lazy boy and chilling through life here until Jesus comes back or takes us home. It's us being actively ready and waiting. And so that's what we're going to see as we read through the passage. And so we're going to go ahead and pick it up there at verse 35 and read through the whole passage. So follow with me. Okay.
Now I just fell off.
Okay. Ready, set, go. All right. So Luke chapter 12, starting there, verse 35. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Verse 39. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, look, are you telling this parable for us or for all? Verse 47, and the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set out his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if the servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and get drunk, the master of the servant will come on that day when he does not expect him and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him to pieces and put him with the unfaithful. Verse 47. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did not deserve a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much is given, of him much will be required. And of him whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Let's pray. Father, help us in the next few moments to be able to walk through these words that you have given us. Help us, Father, each of us individually, to clearly understand, are we ready? And then, Father, challenge us, if we are ready ourselves, how are we living? Are we living in such a way that will be a positive influence, that will be a helpful movement for other people to also be ready? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so as we look through that passage, there was one verse that is definitely the key to everything that goes on in the passage. Anybody figure out which one it was? That is important, but I don't think it's quite the main focus. So I think verse 40 is the focus there, to where it says, You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So I think the verses before that and the verses after that all connect to, we know Jesus is coming, but we do not know when he is coming. And so we have to be ready. And so Jesus is explaining this in multiple different ways because it's such an important point that everybody needs to understand that he is coming back. And when he does, everything's decided at that point. And so he wants to make sure that they're getting this over and over. So he's going to tell it from different stories, from different angles, different aspects about being ready. And so we need to make sure that we are ready. Now, the parallel passage. So my statement, living with Jesus' second coming in view will help disciples serve more faithfully and likely result in more great commission fruit. And so if you're always thinking about and you're understanding that Jesus is coming back, it should help you to grow in urgency. It should help you have greater compassion and concern for those that are lost. And hopefully you're going to be more engaging with the lost, being a disciple that makes disciples that makes disciples. Now, as we've talked about before, we even talked about in our podcast last week, people, as you evangelize them, as you try to disciple them, it's partly their responsibility. And so their reaction, their choice isn't on you, but are you living in such a way that hopefully there will be more fruit of the Great Commission lived out through your life? So the two questions that I already said earlier, are you ready for Jesus' second coming? And then are you living in a way that can help others be ready for Jesus' second coming? We should be thinking about these, the first one, and get cut and dry. Once and for all, so that you have no doubt. And then as you live it out, as your daily testimony of the second question is a yes, that's ultimately going to give you the assurance of the first question. Because it's not whether you answer the question, whether you say the prayer, whether you, you know, agree or disagree. What are you living it out? Do you have a believing faith that people can see day by day? That is the assurance of your salvation within your life as we are. Matthew 24, let's go ahead and flip there. So this is a parallel passage. It's not the exact same passage. It's at a different time and a different setting. But I wanted to read it because it's very similar. It seems like Jesus really wants to emphasize that he is coming again at a time we won't know. And we need to be ready. And so he says it in different times, different teachings. And so this is in Matthew 24. We're going to start there at verse 36. You'll see some of the similarities with the passage. Some will be a little bit different. But it still states the urgency that we need to make sure that we're ready. So verse 36. But concerning the day and the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day our Lord is coming. Verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Verse 47. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if the wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks and drunkards, The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so again, we see a lot of the same language and visualization, but we see that as a total different sermon that Jesus is giving. And I just want to reiterate, this is so important. We can't just assume because we went through the motions at some point along the way that maybe you said a sinner's prayer, maybe you were talking with somebody and somebody else said, you're saved now. We can't take that assurance from somebody else. We need to allow the Holy Spirit through our spirit to give us the assurance, to give us the understanding that we are ready for Jesus coming back, or if something would happen before that time. So now let's go back and start walking through the verses 35 and 36. Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and he knocks. So as we keep Jesus' second coming in mind, what is Jesus highlighting about his servants? What do we see in these two verses that Jesus is highlighting about the master's servants? Preparedness. Okay, they're waiting on him. What else do we see? Okay, there's an expectation of the moment that is coming. There is the practical sense of keeping the light burning so there can be vision. People can be seen because it's a darkness of the night. So does this mean that they shouldn't be doing anything? How do we balance that out? How do we know that it seems like, it sounds like, that they're just supposed to be sitting there in the lazy boy with the lamp and not sleeping? How do we know the difference? Say it again. Oh, there is a feast coming, and we're going to get to that in a few verses about what the master will do. So for us, we have to understand, within our life, if we're a servant, that means we're serving. Now, our master needs different things at different moments. If he goes away and he leaves us in charge, that means we need to be carrying on whatever was going on when he left. And so it does say that we need to be waiting, and if he knocks at the door, then we can open it. But yet, we need to have our garments ready. We need to have them tied up around our loins. And I think that's a picture of we're actually doing. We're not just in the house every day, every night, just there. Because we don't know what day it is. We don't know what night it is. But we need to be ready. We need to be excited with that anticipation that it is coming. And so that's why we need to have our clothes already lined up, ready to go, wrapped up around us. And so we can be on mission. We can get out there. Jesus' disciples should be laboring with one eye looking for Christ's return. And so when you think about, if we keep one eye with that expectation, and then the second eye is focused on the here and now. And there's that balance. And that's that balance of the Great Commission, to where we're living life that God has given us today, but yet we're seeing, we're living with that expectancy of eternity with God. Now, the time that we have here is just a short time compared to all of eternity with God. But yet we're here for a reason. If he did not want us to be on mission with him right now here on earth, then he would have taken us up at the moment that we were saved. But yet he has left us here as believers because we're still to complete the mission. The mission of being his salt, his light in this dark world. Malachi 3, starting there, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him. And those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name, verse 17 there, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. And then verse 18. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. And so interesting, what's the connection between righteous and wicked and the one who serves God and the one who does not serve God? So if we look back, then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. What's our connection between those four words? Ah, the righteous serve God and the wicked do not. And so we have two statements that are basically the same statement using different word pictures. So it's easy for us to understand righteous and wicked. What does it mean if you're righteous? Okay. You have a fear of the Lord, covered in the blood of Jesus, born again. If you're considered to be wicked, then who are you? Okay. Not a believer. You're lost, dead in your sins. Okay. So it's clear we've got two options, righteous or wicked. And then the second part of the sentence, who serves God, or one who does not serve God. And so clearly, we're seeing here from Malachi that if you're righteous, it's a given you're going to do what? Okay, there you go. If you're not serving God, then you need to be concerned that you are wicked. We need to clearly understand that when we surrender our life, we're surrendering to Jesus as Savior and as Lord. We can't surrender to Him. He's my Savior, and then if I want to let Him be my Lord and be my Master down the road, I'll do that. We can't let that happen in our mind. We have to realize it's both or it's neither. The correlation is... we just went through that and answered that one. Okay. So 37 and 38. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for the service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third watch and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. And so, whether it's the second watch, third watch, it's the middle of the night, it's late. But the idea is, no matter what time in our life, doesn't matter if it's convenient or not convenient, we have to be ready. And even though these pictures are making it seem like it's within one day, Jesus is going to come back. We already know that it's been how long? Okay, 2,000 years. It could be another 2,000 years. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. And so even though these pictures make it seem like it's within one day, it's every day. These lines, these stories, these parables, they speak to how we need to be living every day. Now, Jeff gave us a little sneak peek. The great thing about this is, what do we see the master doing for the servant? Serving him. Yes. When we see that, the master will serve the faithful servants. And so if we're faithful servants, we're going to have God serve us. And so let's turn to Luke 15. Shouldn't be too hard. Should be just a couple pages back past the main passage. So in Luke 13, 22 through 30, we have the whole story about the narrow door. Okay? And about how we can walk through the narrow door, and those that do, what will happen? What will they experience? And those that don't, what will happen and what they will experience? But I want us to really focus there on verse 29. And the people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are the last who will be first, and some are the first who will be last. And so when we think about that great grand banquet that God is going to set up for us,
and he will serve us, his faithful servants. The roles will be reversed. And so if we're ready, that's another expectation of a wonderful time, a wonderful moment that we will get to have to be in God's presence while he will lay out this spread. It'll be a great time in that. So faithful servants serve until the end. Faithful servants serve even when the timing is not best for them. And so we have to understand, doesn't matter first watch, second watch, third watch. It doesn't matter when Jesus comes back. We've got to take time out of our mind. We've got to think, am I serving or am I not serving? Doesn't matter what time, what watch. Doesn't matter if it's convenient or inconvenient. If he gives us opportunity to serve, we need to seize the opportunity and serve. Verse 39. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house and be broken into. So now our wordage changes a little bit in this story. The master in this story is who? Us. Okay? We have to clearly understand that in this story, Jesus is relating that we're the master in this story. So what does it mean if we're going to leave the house? In our Christian life, what could Jesus be picturing that would be us leaving the house? Neglecting our duties? So we've been left in charge of his house. And if we don't stay, and if we're not vigilant with his house, if we literally leave his house, if we leave the family, if we go off somewhere and do what we want to do, we're not following through on the responsibilities that we've been given. Now, does this mean that we can't go on vacation? No, it doesn't mean that we can't go on vacation. It means, though, is it vacation for a short period of time? Or is your whole life a vacation from God? That you said that sinner's prayer, you had that moment, you came down front, you got baptized, and so you've got your ticket punched, and so now you're like, it's okay. I can leave the house, I can leave my responsibilities. Yeah? Ma'am? Correct, but I was using that for the visual picture of when we do go on vacation, we're moving away from our job for that week or that time or that day on that part. I know we're supposed to still glorify God, but yet we're moving away from our normal, what we do day in and day out. Jesus decides. I think his house is the life that he has entrusted us with. Overarchingly, it's the earth. But yet for each of us individually, what he's given us is the sphere of influence, the opportunities to serve him wherever it is. So within Berean, as a Berean family, we have opportunities to serve here. We have responsibilities that we're given depending on our abilities, our talents, our gifts within this family. But then also in our occupation, within your neighborhood, you know, in all those settings, that is your house. That is where God wants you to stay. And he wants you to be about his business, about his mission. So we talked through, I've already asked that question. So in 2 Peter, verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 10, but then the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, or like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are to be done will be exposed. Pastor has been challenging us to think through, bless you, you know, what is your picture of the end times and what will take place? And so when we look at this verse, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And so the obvious part there is we don't know when he's going to come. So we need to be ready. But yet to see the picture of, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on all will be exposed. And so it sure does seem like now the new heavens and the new earth are here, and it's time for them. Again, I'll let you work through that as pastors letting you work through that also. But the key for the message tonight is that We don't know when he's coming. We can't nail it down. It's impossible to do. Okay? But we know that we need to be obeying his commands. The commands that we see in Scripture, the commands that are clearly black and white, but then also what he lays on our heart. And so as we're thinking about the people that are in your life, he's entrusted them for you to be that light, to be that salt. As Pastor was challenging us this morning, we live in a dark world. Wherever you are, whether it's whether you work, whether you play, whether your hobbies are, it's a dark world. You're there for a reason, an intentionality. You're to be that light in that dark world. You're to obey his commands. So let's just run through just a few. What are the commands that jump out at you that we need to be obeying day to day? Love your neighbor. What else? Love God. What other commands are in the Bible? Is that it? Now, those are very important. Okay, everything runs on them. The law, the prophets. Okay, we have to be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within us. We need to obey father and mother, honor them. We need to be preaching the gospel. We need to have a proclamation of the good news ready at any moment. What other commands do we need to be obeying? Okay, we need to make disciples. Okay, we need to be thankful, appreciate. Okay, we need to forgive. Any other commands? Okay, to be an ambassador. Okay. Yes, we need to be servants. We need to serve. Christ came to serve. We need to be serving. What's that? We can't be making idols. Okay, it's only going to be God. Verse 41, Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? So the setting, we've got the disciples that are there, but then there are others that are gathered around. And so who's the us, who's the all? In Peter's question here. Okay, disciples are us, the believers. Okay, the all is everybody else. Okay, so we need to think from Peter's perspective, why is he asking this question? Why does it matter if Jesus is talking about us or Jesus is talking about all?
Because I think in another, he said that the parable was for disciples.
Yeah, sometimes we see that parables are for some and for others, but why does he want to know about what Jesus is saying right here? So he clearly wants to make sure he's not misunderstanding what Jesus is saying so that he can pass on the message as it should be. Why else do you feel that it's important? Why is Peter doing it?
He wants to know if he's coming.
Okay. He's definitely asking about the kingdom is coming. When is the kingdom coming? How is it coming? Where is it coming? He wants to be clued in. Who's it coming for? Who's going to be in it? Anybody else? Why do you think Peter's asking this question? I think that each of them are new. So we have multiple within this, but they do connect because there is the heavenly connection. So let's continue along here a little bit with this. There's an application for everyone, I think, in what Jesus is saying. Because Jesus doesn't come out and give him a straight up answer. This is about us, you guys, or this is about everybody. He continues on telling the stories, telling the parables. And if we read through these, I think we can see him paint a picture of different paths that people can take that are here right now. And so I think we're going to see four different paths that he's going to describe. Jesus is going to describe people that are affected differently, that have made different choices. And so let's look at verses 42, 43, 44. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? 43, blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will be set over all his possessions. And so the first answer, the first thing that Jesus says after Peter asked this question is about a faithful servant. Somebody has been entrusted with the responsibility of the house. They're following through. They're taking care of it. They're doing what they need to be doing. And so I think Jesus is painting a picture that what he's talking about, it is for both. It's for the disciples that are there, but yet it's also for the lost people that are there so that they can understand what are the options that they have. How can they live out the rest of their life? And so when we look at this person, I think we see a faithful person. I think they're growing in Christ's likeness. They're serving. They're being who they're supposed to be. And so when we see that, to me, it automatically kicks us back to our definition of a disciple. Okay? Somebody that's thinking, being, doing, proclaiming Christ. Within our lives, if we're going to be that faithful servant, if we're going to be about God's business and we're going to be obedient, we're going to keep His commands, then we need to make sure that we're thinking more and more like Christ. That we're being made more and more into the image of Christ. That we are doing the mission of Christ more and that we're proclaiming it. That we're talking about it over and over and over again. So the first path that I think we see here is disciples that are maturing and multiplying. So now, let's go to Matthew 25:21. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now we get excited when we hear this verse, when we hear this passage. It's mentioned in different gospels. Why do we get so excited? It's what we want to hear. Okay? Anybody not want to hear this? Just figure out a check on that. No, we would all like to hear this. I think we really would. But what we have to understand is that God's not giving out this well done, good and faithful servant to everybody like we give out participation trophies and certificates to everybody on the whole team. We have to clearly understand that. You know, in today's sports and in today's activities, you know, if somebody just, they're part of it in some way, we want them to walk away with a trophy, walk away with a certificate, so they can feel good about themselves. That's not what this statement is. This is a statement of truly, have you been about the Father's business? Have you carried the responsibilities of being the master of the house as God has entrusted you with His house? So that's where we have to look in the mirror. If we really would like to hear well done, then we need to be obedient. We need to follow His example. We need to be growing and thinking like Christ, being like Christ, doing like Christ, proclaiming like Christ. Verses 45, 46. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming and begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and get drunk, the master of the servant will come on that day when he does not expect him and at an hour he does not know and will cut him in pieces and put him in with the unfaithful. What kind of person is this? Okay. Hypocrite, wicked, slothful, lazy, tyrannical. Where do they end up? Okay, they're not a believer, so they end up eternal banishment from God, separation from God. Okay. So Jesus tells a story about a faithful servant, but then now he tells a story about an unfaithful servant. And so again, I think Peter's getting his answer. He's just not getting it as quickly as he would like and as straightforward as he would like. But most of the time, that's how Jesus gives his answers. It's a long story, or he'll ask a question instead of actually answering your question on that. So this person on this second path, they're on the road to destruction. And so tonight, as we look around this room, Now, we do realize that it's Sunday night, and you would think that faithful people would come back on Sunday night. But yet, we need to look at ourselves, each person, look in the mirror to make sure that you're not this unfaithful servant. That you do have a relationship. You have to be really introspective. Don't just take it for granted about something that happened years ago and you can't see it following through now. Okay? False disciples will receive eternal damnation. So we have to take this so seriously. Often pastor has challenged us, we should not desire for anybody to go to hell. Because the pain, how terrible it's going to be, we should not wish that upon anybody. And so we need to make sure that we're trying to influence everybody away from experiencing this. Darren, was it you? Oh, okay. I thought I heard somebody. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is not a new passage. I bring it up every so often because to me, it hurts. Because Jesus is talking about people that think that they're going to be spending eternity with him. He's not talking about people that are lost or some other religion or some secular that could care less. He's talking about many people that believe that they will be welcomed in and they're not going to be. And so when I look at this and I think through it, that false disciple, that unfaithful person, can also be this Matthew 7 Christian that they think that they will. And so maybe you had a God moment and maybe you do participate and maybe you are here, but yet do you feel a relationship? Are you living it out? Can you see how God is growing you in Christ's likeness? Or are you looking about the same? When you look back a year, 5 years, 10 years, can you see progression? No, nobody's perfect in here. Nobody's walking on water in here. But yet, with sanctification, we should be progressing more and more to be like Jesus. And so we should be able to see that and track that. And if we can't see that and track that, then we need to be concerned. Are we being servants? Are we serving? If we're not serving, we need to be concerned. So if we look at Luke 12, back to 48 and 47, or 47 to 48, and that the servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. Verse 48, but the one who did not know and did what was deserved of a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will be demanded of more. So we have two paths. We have two different types of people in this two verses right here. The first person, the first path is people that are what? What are they doing? Okay, there might be laziness within it. But what do they have that the second person doesn't have? Okay, so the first person that's on this third path, so to speak, they have a greater knowledge. They clearly understand what they're supposed to be about. And then the fourth person, this fourth path, they don't quite have the same level of understanding. Now, does that excuse their bad behavior, their sin in their life? No, it does not in any way. Okay. So when we think through it, I'll back up in a second here. When we think through it, this third path, they knowingly are disobedient disciples. And so they have some level of Bible understanding, some level of God working through them, and they're being definitely disobedient to what God wants them to be about. And then the fourth one, they just haven't been given as much, but yet they're being unfaithful. So they're still going to be punished. So let's go back to the 1 Corinthians 3:15. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And so I think this third and this fourth path, they're believers. But they're believers that did not live faithful lives. They wasted what they had been given. And what they did in their life was, it was wood, it was hay, it was stubble. And through the judgment, what happens to a life of wood, hay, and stubble? It gets burned up, and what's left? Nothing is left. Okay? But for the faithful servant, what are their works of? What is their life of? Precious stones, silver, gold. Through the fire, what happens to them? Okay? They're purified and they last. That does take us back into the last passage the pastor was walking us through. When we're building up treasures in heaven, they're going to last. They're for eternity. That's when we're being faithful, when we're building up those treasures. But when we're building up the wood, hay, and the stubble, we're being unfaithful. And we have to realize that within our lives. Yes, Pastor.
So, as you were studying this, Mike, because I haven't studied it, right? How did you work through a believer getting a severe beating?
So, to me, that was, you had been entrusted with a lot. And from an earthly perspective, you accomplished a lot. So you were expecting a lot when you get to heaven. But yet that was taken away from you. That was removed from you in that second judgment. I can't see it that it is technically that I'm being beaten or that I'm being cast into the gnashing of teeth for a short period of time or anything like that. I totally believe that as we look at this 1 Corinthians 3:15, that he will suffer loss. And so in some way, when we think about the last will be first and the first will be last, we might seem like we're going to have a lot. But in the end, we'll be at the end of the line. We'll be far away from God in the presence of him.
So you're equating the beating to suffering loss.
Yes. Yes. And so that's where, then for me, my interpretation within these four paths, the first one, believer going to heaven, third one and fourth one, they're going to heaven, but yet since they lived an unfaithful life, they're not going to be receiving the rewards that we talked about in the previous passage of chapter 12.
So this parable would be held in contrast to the four paths of the seed,
yes.
Where in that one we only see one, and there are three unbelievers. So you're...
Yes. Yes. I would definitely agree that within the sower that we see three options of people that aren't going to be in heaven. And we only see one that will be because it's by their fruit. And then in this story, it seems like that they're not going to be cast into the gnashing of teeth like the second group. And that's where I differentiate that. Okay, for now? So I'll bring it to a close as our time is drawing near to think through here. The first one was rewarded, second one rejected, the third and the fourth were disciplined. So back to the two questions. Okay. Are you ready for Jesus' second coming? You personally. How do you know that? What do you see in your life that helps you to have confidence? Okay. What are you making note of? Referring back to the treasures in heaven. How do you see yourself actively building up treasures in heaven? And then the second question. If you're there, if you're ready, how are you living a life now that's helping, that's encouraging, that's guiding others to also be ready? Because we can't be just on an island unto ourselves as believers. We have to understand that we're to be in community together. We're here for each other. But we're also here to be that salt and light. to bring that light to the dark world, to the people that don't have the relationship. Are over 7 billion lost people in the world that don't have a relationship, that if they would die tonight or Jesus would come back, they're not going to be in God's presence for all of eternity. And so we need to be constantly thinking about, I'm ready, and I need to be living so that others are ready. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you would die on the cross, that God the Son would come and pay that sin debt for each of us. Father, help us to know that we believe. Help us to live out our belief. Father, help us to live it out in a way that is a light to those that are around us that are in darkness without a relationship. Help us to be a disciple that makes a disciple that makes a disciple. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.